Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Do you still have 100% faith that if you can put that team back together, that this group can win as is?
Well, I think we have to continue to add to the group. I don't think you can expect to bring the band back together if it wasn't able to complete and accomplish the ultimate goal in the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, they've been extremely close. Can they continue to do it? I mean, the tread life and the tires, you don't get to swap that out. They want to win, and ultimately, they want to be...
That is Don Sweeney. When the Bruins season wrapped up, we talked about where they go from here and kind of get the feeling from Sweeney and from Neely and others that they're going to give it one more crack. But then after that, where do they go? Because right now, if you looked at it, and you look at both the Bruins and the Celtics, our two winter sports, they're really in no man's land. They're really kind of in the middle. They're not really good enough to be title contenders. They're both cute little teams, but they also have valuable pieces that you sit there and say, oh, no, we're not getting rid of Marchand. No, we're not getting rid of Apostin. No, we're not going to get rid of a Tatum. So you're holding back and getting rid of them to retool your team again. So how do you get better? You really become that middle of the rung team. What good is that? Does anybody want to be killed on the team forever?
Nobody wants to be average. Nobody wants to just play basketball, play hockey just for the sake of playing. Because that's really, if you're an average team, that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, what's the end goal? Like, what's the upside? Is there something waiting for me at the end?
Seven seed. We're the seventh
seed.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, Jesus, that sucks. For Pete's sake, is that all we can do?
For Pete's sake.
That's like the theme of the day.
I would say that the Bruins are not as far off.
No, they're closer, but they have a short little window here,
they
right?
Yeah. They do. They have a short window. I'm cool. Like, my windows have shortened. I don't know about you guys. You know, but it's
for,
like this
for
five,
all teams or
no,
just the
everything.
Bruins?
Just everything. It's just like, I don't really believe in five-year windows. Everything is 2 years.
Yeah,
everything's a year or two. Like, it's just, that's just the way it is. Everything changes. You know, you wake up tomorrow and your star wants to leave your team in basketball, and all of a sudden, you know, your window's shut. There is no window. Right. So to me, the Bruins right now, sure, they have a window. They got a couple years, and they're, I think they're kind of close. We'll see. They need additions. There's no question about it. But when you have the first line that you have, you got a guy like McAvoy back there, you got Grizzly back there, and we'll see what the goaltending situation. I just think there's enough pieces. We'll see who they bring back. Again, there's an opportunity to kind of bring some guys back, save a lot of money, bring back a second line, save some cash to be able to spend it elsewhere.
Well, I think we all agree that the Bruins are closer than the Celtics are, but a lot of things have to go well for the Bruins. And the easiest part might be building up the third and fourth line because they've got so much money. The bigger question might be, who's your goaltender next year?
Mm-hmm.
So if Jeremy Swayman turns out to be great, then you're going to sit there and say, we're good. Whether Tuukka comes back or not, we're good. If he isn't, if he turns out to be nothing, then they're back in the middle again.
See, mm-hmm. so but overall, when I look at the Celtics, because I say the Bruins have the best chance. When I look at the Celtics, I just see 3 to 4 years of mediocrity and underachieving. That's what I think. Almost coulda, woulda, shoulda, missed our window, had the window closed. I just don't, in the East the way it is, I don't think they're ever going to be that top four team.
I agree.
I don't care who you bring in here. I just feel like based on, the way the NBA works, the way stars work, God forbid, they bring in a coach, and sure enough, one of the two stars, they don't like them. Maybe it's Tatum. Maybe it's Jaylen Brown. They just, they don't mesh. They don't see eye to eye. I'm not a little rookie anymore. You can't tell me what to do. You have to ask my opinion before we do things. And maybe that new coach they just don't jive together.
So the problem I have with the Celtics is nobody wants to get rid of Tatum. What I was just talking about, when you have a superstar like that, or a star, let's put it that way, you're not going to get rid of him. But you have to probably get rid of Jaylen Brown if you want to bring in, let's say, Lillard or somebody like that. All it is you're swapping two players and you're not really advancing any. Now, if you can hold on to both Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and you could give up to Kemba Walker and everybody else if you wanted to Portland, and you bring in Lillard, now suddenly you've advanced, you moved it up. I fear, based on what might be happening in Philadelphia right now, where Simmons is getting exposed, Philly's the team, they're gonna go for Lillard, and they're gonna convince Portland that with Lillard wanting out, I get a younger player in Simmons, maybe he's gonna be valuable to us down the road. And then suddenly they become a much better team. That's why I agree with you, Christian. The teams above them might be flawed, as we're seeing now in the playoffs. They're still all better than Boston, including Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta's better than Boston.
They're far off. They've got good teams. But I also feel like they're in a league that's tougher. That's all. They're just in a league that's tougher to win. It's harder, I think, in the NBA. You know, I mean, Brooklyn's not going anywhere. You said other teams are going to improve. And you have these two young players who still might be 2 or 3 years away from being mature enough to kind of be the players you want them to be. Right? Just their game. Maybe it's a couple years away. I feel like, and that's why I don't look at the Celtics and say, okay, maybe in 3 or 4 years they can win. No, because I think the next year, you mentioned it, Christian, next year too is going to be very important. This next coach you bring in, you know, what if it doesn't work? Now, here we are 2 years later trying something new, right? 3 years later trying something new. And by then, young stars could be so pissed they're gone. I think the Celtics are in for it. I think the Celtics have a very important year or two ahead of them, and they could be in a complete rebuild if it doesn't go well.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and a friend said, well, it couldn't be any worse with the Celtics. We were talking about the coach. Couldn't be any worse next year. And I said, yeah, it could.
Sure,
he could not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Next
God,
year.
Really?
Sure, it could be worse. I said, do you know how close they're teetering to being out of the playoffs?
That was this year.
Yes.
I mean, there was attitudes and injuries and, you know, guys didn't live up to expectations and, you know, animosity and anger and jealousy. All those things were real. All those things were real. Like just giving up, not hustling, not trying, realizing that the bench that you had, they all suck and that you're not even close. No. I would feel, if I'm a Celtics fan, I mean, what's less than or worse than a cute little team? Like, what's – because I think
a really bad team, a team that is bad every single year. You know what? It's been a bad team for the last 20 years, 30 years, the New York Knicks. Bad team. Not interesting. Dull.
Yeah, well, no, but I don't know if they'll be – that, but I guess that is realization.
And the Knicks were better than you. And Knicks are better than you.
That actually could be it. That actually could be it.
The Knicks. Yeah.
Do you guys believe the Celtics next year have a chance of being worse?
Yes.
How? How is that even possible?
Well, because Lou already said it.
Everybody's back. Everyone's healthy. No one has COVID.
Teams are getting better around them.
So are the Celtics.
I would say, Tyler, the one thing I would worry about is just personality conflicts. I would say when guys are 19, 20, 21, 22, they're easier to manage and maybe even manipulate. When the guys start, they get in their mid-20s, they want to be in charge. And then my views don't agree with your views, and something has to change. Like, I could easily, not that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are the be-all, end-all, but for that team, like, one guy's going to be the leader.
Listen, they're at a turning point right now. So we were saying this yesterday. What do you think Jason Tatum is saying to himself as he's watching TV the other night, and
mine's
he finds out at 8 o'clock he didn't get his $32 million? Is he going to use that as motivation to come back and be better and make everybody else better on his team? Or is he going to piss and moan? How is he going to react? You're right, Christian. We don't know. It's such an individual game
at
times.
And you want different things.
Right.
So you're willing to put up with a bunch of stuff. Suddenly they change the coach. Danny Ainge leaves. Everybody, all your you know, older guys, and now you're the older guys, and you just decide you don't want to be in Boston anymore. You don't want that kind of life, you know. And Marcus, maybe you're so sick of Marcus Smart, and then really you're just looking for an excuse to get
that whole
out.
Thing. First, like Tyler, I kind of agree. It's like they were 36-36, right? So I mean, it's going to get worse. I got to see what the roster is. I got to see what Brad Stevens builds. I mean, is Marcus Smart out of here? Is he moving Jaylen Brown? Is there any kind of improvements to the bench? Right, because I think there's a chance for you can be better, but the problem is you're not a 500 team. Okay, maybe you're not the seventh seed, but you jump to what, the five seed? Like, it's not like there's going to be a huge improvement. You're still going to be middle of the road. Like, you know what I mean? I don't see this huge improvement of their legitimate top three contender in the Eastern Conference. They might go from 7-5, but nothing's really going to change all that much in the big picture.
I don't see, based on what they're dealing with, luxury tax, the hard cap, the great trade exception that they still have a piece of. Fournier, maybe he gets an offer somewhere else. I'm not sure they can make themselves that much better. So you're right, Lou. Maybe they move up to a 5 seed or a 4 seed and they're bunched together. They could also fall out of the playoffs. That could absolutely happen. So I would worry about it. All right, let's get to the phone calls and we'll get some reaction on this. Both the Celtics and the Bruins, we all agree, Bruins have a better shot, but it's coming to an end here. And we're not dealing with yearly contenders. Here's Ethan in New Hampshire. Ethan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Why can't we have some patience with Tatum? He's 22, 23 years old, dropping 50-point games in the playoffs. We got a young two-way stud named Jaylen Brown next to him.
Who's not
it's
patient
not
with him?
Perfect right away, but you know, let's give him a chance to develop a little bit before we get down on him and say we're not going to improve at all next year. We don't even know who our next head coach is going to be.
Ethan,
we got to get some roster moves.
I mean, Tatum can improve, but who's not patient with him? Nobody wants to trade him. Nobody says he's done.
You guys are saying he's not going to have any. We're going to be horrible next year. We're not going to be a 5th seed. We're not going to make the playoffs. I'm looking at this young kid and saying, you know, let's jump on his back and see how far he can take us.
I don't think any of us said it won't be a playoff team.
No.
The only thing is he could improve, but you know it doesn't matter. What's the team look like around him? They had Tatum and Brown this year. They both had great years. They were a 500 team.
Can we make it clear here that we all like Jason Tatum and we think he's the best thing about this basketball team? Can we make that clear? Because I think what happens is the Green Teamers, you know, get their hair up and they get all pissed off, go, whoa, you're saying that we might not make the playoffs next year, and they get a little woozy. We love Jason Tatum. We're not sitting here telling you it's his fault. But if you look around the league and you're watching the playoffs right now and you're watching the Atlanta Hawks, they are better top to bottom than you are. There are teams out there in the West that didn't have the record you had. Golden State Warriors that are going to be better than you next year. Teams are going to move up. That's all we're saying. And they have very little flexibility to go out there and get players around
it's
Tatum.
It's the same thing from day one. It was like when the season started, it's like Tatum and Brown are very good. Kemba's not healthy. The rest of the roster, I don't trust. That's why they're a Middle Eastern Conference team. 4th, 5th, 6th seed, whatever. They finished 7th. Nothing has changed. Tatum and Brown could take a leap, and could take go to the next step, and they could improve and be a 4 or 5 seed, but they still won't have enough around them. They just don't. Like, as much as the Nets, we talk about their big three, what's around those big three are still better than what you have.
They are.
You know what I mean? And they got 3 stars.
Yep.
And the helpers are much better than what you have. So it's not about those two kids. We don't believe in those two kids. But it's like how else can you put this team together? Evan Fournier? He might be too expensive. You might not be able to afford him. And he's still not as good as Joe Harris.
Nope, he's not.
Nope.
All right. Coming up, we'll continue talking about the Bruins and the Celtics and whether we're in for mediocrity for sometimes. But we got to get into Kyrie Irving. There's a new book out. And the book kind of lays it out as to what Kyrie was doing behind the scenes.
Oh, if you hated him before, you're going to hate him now.
Ooh,
you hate him even more.
Not real loyal, I can tell you that. We will get to that coming up next right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bull like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's just, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want.
No, no, no. The saying is that it's out there. Do you want to cool it off or whatever by saying, you know. So obviously people are running with it saying, you know.
Yeah.
Look, we haven't written about it. We're like, that's, we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
Hey, people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet. I mean, it's just, you know.
Do you look, is the internet real for you in your life? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you, but
making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
That's Steve Bulpet, formerly of the Boston Herald. Should still be out there covering basketball. He's really good at it. But he was, and you can hear it there, because he's challenging Kyrie Irving. Basically
and
saying,
vice versa.
Yeah, that every one of us saw you out there during the All-Star break, you know, huddling up with Kevin Durant. And people assume or think that you're talking about getting together.
Two max spots.
Right. And is two max spots and going to the Brooklyn.
Typical Kyrie.
Yep. Nope.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I'm smarter
Making
than you.
Feel
I
like
know,
an
I
idiot.
Know. Like you're,
I don't care what people are thinking. It's a conversation with two. Like, meanwhile, we all know, later on when he was in Brooklyn, admitted that they had the conversation. That's exactly what the conversation was about.
Exactly.
And we all knew what it was about.
And it happened apparently.
He was not good at hiding any of this.
No, he was never.
He's
good
not
at
smart.
He thinks he's smart.
You think he's smart.
Yeah, I think he's manipulative. That's what I
That's
think.
Fine.
And I think you've got to be smart to be able to manipulate people. And I think he's very, very good at it. And I'll give you an example. There's a new book out called Can't Knock the Hustle, Inside the Season of Protest, Pandemic, and Progress with the Brooklyn Nets Superstars of Tomorrow. And a big portion of it is all about Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And it turns out in this book, they admit that the two met on January the 25th at Kyrie's house here in Western Ooh. Massachusetts ahead of the Celtics-Warriors game. And KD was in town, went over his house, and that was the first time they discussed, hey, how about the two of us playing again? So it reads, Kyrie Irving invited his old friend Kevin Durant for dinner at his mansion, seven bedrooms spread in the woods of suburban Boston, that did not feel particularly lived in. This was the night before the two-time defending champion Warriors played the Celtics on network television. Kyrie was battling the flu, couldn't play that night. But that didn't stop the wine from flowing. No, the wine was flowing because Kyrie was a gracious host. Michael B. Jordan planned to stop by when he was in town. Nothing could stop Kyrie from getting what he wanted, which was to move the hell out. And despite his misgivings about the racialized history of Boston sports fans, Kyrie had told the Celtics crowd that he wanted to re-sign for the long term at that fan appreciation event in the fall of 2018.
You guys will have me back. I plan on re-signing here next year.
Boom!
Boom! Scout.
Oh! Oh, my God, Boom! We're going to be so good for so long. Oh, my God!
But 3 weeks after that, his grandfather died, sending Kyrie into a sudden spiral of depression for which he deeply regretted not seeking therapy. And from that moment, he would tell his old friend, Kevin Durant, that life became way more important than basketball. Anything I was doing in basketball, I didn't really care. This is what Kyrie does. You know, he just, whatever's happening at the moment, he kind of moves along. By the time KD arrived at his temporary mansion for their unfinished business, Kyrie had grown sick of creating a social distance from Celtics teammates for days at a time or else. And he was, that month, in January 2019, pointing fingers at them in public, especially around a loss in Brooklyn. He tried to stop internalizing the media's misperception of his ego.
Oh, geez, it's our fault. Of course. So we're doing something wrong.
I have to work really hard because they're trying to make it sound like I have an ego.
Yeah.
So he tried,
has broken up locker rooms.
He tried to be more present for his three-year-old daughter, to treat his job like a job. But self-care could begin professionally on his own terms. He had been charting a path home by way of his boyhood team, the Nets. And that's when they worked it out that the two of them were going to go with two maximum contracts to play together in Brooklyn.
I don't think you needed any more proof.
No,
it's not like
you
kind of already knew, but it does kind of sting a little bit more when you see it in print, knowing how just scandalous he really was. Like, you know, and so, I mean, and listen, I don't want to be insensitive to any family members dying, but I don't think anybody dying had anything to do with his, you know, willingness to want to, you know, change the way the team that he was playing on. He never had any plans of being a Celtic long term. That was all an act from the beginning. He oversold it. He went all in. Then he realized, oh, crap, how am I going to get out of this?
Well, you're right. I think he prematurely talked about coming back here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we mentioned, you know, 3 months later, he's in January. And this is why we start talking about windows and how quickly things can change. You know, I do think that when he said that to the crowd, he probably might have meant it then.
Oh, God, no. I think he got caught up in the, well, the glitz and the lights. And
yeah, but it's just, you know, just the appreciation. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be here, whatever. And then I'm just thinking the next 2 or 3 months, whether that's when he became aware of the racial history in Boston, I have no idea. But he just didn't like the mix.
Yeah,
maybe he got exposed by a guy like Jaylen Brown, who maybe was smarter than he was.
Exactly.
He didn't like Brad Stevens, the way they were approaching games, the way he coached teams, everything. So I think in the next 3 or 4 months, he realized he wanted nothing to do with it, which brings us to kind of January. Here comes Kevin Durant. He starts looking around. Well, where do I go? Who do I go with? Next, here comes KD. We're in the same boat. Let's go together.
Yeah. Yeah, and then because then the more time that went on, then it came to, you know, let's keep asking questions about it. Hey, you know what? I'll talk to you. What was it, June 1st or July 1st, whatever it was. Like, forget about it. I'm not even saying anything right now. Before, I promised to play here. Now, I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
So that is a big part of where the Celtics are today, because think about this. This is all going on in the background. Danny Ainge, I don't think, is aware of this. Danny Ainge is going on what he said on October 18th in front of the fan appreciation night. He's back. What was Ainge's goal at the time? Let me find another superstar to play with Kyrie, and then we've got the formula to how you win in the NBA. So he's doing all of that work. In the meantime, Kyrie is stabbing him in the back behind closed doors, meeting with KD, and working this all out. That night at the in the suburbs, KD would follow Kyrie's lead. He even ate a vegan burger for the first time. I could F with this, he said. A super team was starting to be formed over a side of kale salad and clink. I hate kale's not fun. That's not good.
Kale is disgusting.
It is. Fry it. KD and Kyrie went upstairs to the playroom, shared a vegan smoothie, shot a Nerf ball into a toy hoop, and played NBA 2K. Controlling miniature
like
versions
sleepover.
Of themselves.
Yeah, like a grammar school sleepover.
And their two teammates. Are like 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Like marionettes, they wondered how else they could string together a team that was going somewhere. This is a quote from Kyrie about this meeting to the author of this book. And from that point on, we took the power back and put it in our hands. I wonder how Danny
Never
Ainge
been done
likes
before.
Hearing that. Yep.
It's never been done before.
Yeah,
like players
the
taking the
one.
Power and forming teams like this.
How courageous.
I mean, he is. He's a
what
pioneer.
A brave soul.
He's a pioneer,
he's
that
so
guy.
So brave. No one's ever done it before. You know, a lot of criticism because it's the first time everyone's ever done that. In the NBA, please, this is a random Tuesday. It happens all the
but
time.
But I guarantee that I would agree that I would think that Danny Ainge would be pissed off about this. You know what I mean? And he probably already knows. He's probably doesn't need this book to find out.
Yeah, he knows.
When the whole thing broke up, he kind of knew it. But he's just sitting there saying, okay, this thing was going on, and I'm spending the last 2-3 months of the season kissing this guy's ass at practice, kissing this guy's ass at games, trying to convince him to come back, trying to convince him that, you know, this is what we can and can't do. And he's already made up his mind, lying to my face.
Yep. It's got to burn, Danny, to no end. Because especially when you look back at it right now, to me, that was the end of the rebuilding process for the Celtics. Here's Jim in Weymouth. Hello, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Jim.
The best thing this station could do is not spend another second talking about that guy. I can't think of a Boston athlete, former Boston athlete, that is despised more than Kyrie Irving.
Mm. Yeah, I would say, you know.
You'd have a hard time.
Currently, no. Yeah. Currently, no. You are correct. Yeah. I would say Price was up there for a little bit. Yeah. Price. But currently, no. Kyrie Irving is number one villain, yeah, I would think, in the city.
I think we go through stages and different guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Become
this one
the
will be
villain.
Here forever.
This one's going to be for a long time, especially if Brooklyn goes out and has success and they win.
But yes. And plus, he played you.
Yeah.
He totally played you.
He's going to play for a long time.
He took the power back.
Mm hmm.
And he played you. How does that make you feel? Celtic fans.
Cheap. Makes me feel
cheap. You feel used, right? like you're just sitting there, like you put like $20 on the bedside table. And you're just like, oh my God, call me.
Danny has to take a shower.
Used by him, too. You know, guy you just don't respect. I just don't.
Well, you know what will happen in the end. They'll probably have some success in Brooklyn, whether it's this year. Maybe they won't because of the injuries, but maybe they have it next year or the year after. And then he'll do them in. He'll do them in. Same. It'll end ugly in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because he'll do the same thing. He always does. All right, we'll get to back to more phone calls at 617-779-7937. And we'll do a little wrap-up because we had a little mini camp for the last 3 days. And we had, what, one day Mac Jones was the best quarterback, one day Cam Newton, and I think the other one was a draw. We'll break it all down for you as well right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I don't want to be inside your mind with your TV fantasies. Like, I know it involves like a ham sandwich or something like that.
What is wrong with that?
Now back to OMF.
All right, back here on OMF, let's get to the phone calls. A lot of people want to talk about a lot of the stuff we've talked to here in the first hour and a half. You got a John in a car. Hello, John in a car.
Hi, John in the car.
Hi, Mr. Glenn behind. Hi, Mr. Glenn behind the desk.
Ooh, look at that.
I was reading the rules about the whole foreign substances with baseballs, and there's nothing in the rules that says you can't do what these pitches are doing. What it says, the rule is, I'd read it to you, but that'd be kind of a boring excerpt. Mm-hmm. It just talks about things that you can't do to the baseball. It does not say that you can't put any substance in your hand to get a better grip of the baseball. So just as Tom Brady, if Tom Brady wears a glove in the winter to get a better grip of the ball, if these baseball players wanted to wear one of those rubber gloves, one of those rubber gloves that you use washing your dishes, and they got a 3,000-mile spin rate on the ball, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't do that. So I'd like to find out, when you guys saying these guys are all cheating, they're not breaking the rules, because that's not what the rule says.
Sounds like you're talking about a technicality, though, right? If you use it in your glove, it's got to touch the ball, though, eventually. That's the purpose of it.
Yeah, but that's not what the rule says, Glenn. You're right. It's a technicality. That's why all these guys get off for murder and technicalities. So technicality or legally, they are not doing anything wrong by putting a substance on the hand.
Well, they are now, because they kind of sent out the memo. They reaffirmed what the rule is. They also told them what they can and cannot do. And they can't do anything. Rosin.
If you put it in the glove, you put it somewhere else. Eventually, it gets on the baseball. What is the purpose of having it on you and never putting it on the baseball? Then it doesn't do anything for the spin rate, right? I'm not sure I understand.
Rule 3.01, 6.02, C and D prohibit applying foreign substance, sticky substance, on the baseball.
Yeah. So you have to touch the baseball.
It's a rule.
Eventually, you have to throw it.
You can't talk to the baseball, and it's prohibit applying foreign substance on the baseball.
The sticky things.
It's a rule.
Sticky
I don't know what a guy's talking about. It's stupid.
Yeah, David's in Florida. Hello, Dave.
How you doing?
Good.
First of all, about the rule stuff, I mean, it's a total conflict of interest. And you were just bringing up about 20 minutes ago that Spalding is producing, the MLB bought out Spalding, or is it Rawlings.
Basketball.
Okay. I mean, that's a total conflict of interest right there. And it's just that simple. But I just got to ask you one thing before you jump down my throat, because I know you, at times you disagree with some things, but you talk about trading Jaylen Brown. Now, Devers is the Jaylen Brown of the Red Sox. He's the most marketable player out there, and the Red Sox defense is deplorable. So why would you not, if you could get the right trade back for him, why would you not trade him for a top of the line pitcher? It's just like to make a 2004 like trade when Theo got rid of Omar to shore up the defense. They never would have won the World Series if they didn't do that. So why can't you just? Why is everybody so adamant that you won't touch Devers?
Because it's stupid to think of trading Devers.
But if you trade,
don't jump down. You're
going to compare Jaylen Brown.
What is that going to do with anything? It's basketball. It's the NBA. You got five guys on the team. You need
because
a very good roster.
One pitcher. Erod is not a number one pitcher. Nibaldi is not a number one pitcher.
So you don't think they can win the World Series this year, David?
I don't even think they're going to make the playoff. If they make the
What'd you think before the season started, David? When we win, did you think they were going to win before the season started? 78 or 79?
75-80.
Okay, so you're wrong, and now you're upset they can't win the World Series.
They're not even halfway.
And this is a bad day to talk about.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling me, Dolph.
This is a bad day to talk about acquiring pitching. Yeah. I want more hitting. That's what I want, because the pitchers right now are at a huge disadvantage. They've spent the first half of the season operating with the sticky stuff, and now it's gonzo. I want more hitting in the lineup. That's what I want.
Yeah, me too.
That's how you're going to win games now. You don't suddenly say, oh, we're going to trade away.
I want five-hour games.
One of the best power hitters in the game right now. We're going to get rid of him, and we're going to go out and get a pitcher right now. What pitcher? And you're going to spend, what, $30 million on a pitcher that has been fooling you for the last couple of years? He's been using something to doctor up the baseball?
Danny Santana's going to start raking now.
Please.
You just wait.
It's not get carried away.
175.
Here's John in a car. John?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here. I just want to say, going back to the Kyrie thing and taking back the power and all this or whatever, I think the owners, just like the players are trying to do or did, I think the owners in every sport need to get together and they need to cap everything themselves and say, you know what, we got to bring these salaries down. We got to stop trading with people when they want, take the power away. They can make their money on endorsements, Nike, Adidas, whatever. You know what? If we set a cap between us that we're not going to pay anyone more than $10 million a year, then there can't be any complaining, because they can't say, well, I could make $32 million over there and whatever. So the owners and general managers and coaches, they need to step up and just put these guys in their place and say, listen.
Well, but why?
You're dreaming.
But, I mean,
it's fair
trade. Like, why would you want to put them in their place? Why would you want them to be just tethered to a team and then have this team completely dictate terms all the time, John? That's college. That's college sports, John.
The answer is because the coaches and the owners own the team and coach the team. It is their place to say who's on the team and who's not. It's not
that's roster building.
See, you guys always disagree with people that don't agree with you.
No. Why do I have? No, it has nothing to do with. Hold on, it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with just a. I don't think you're making any sense. Like you just want coaches and GMs and owners to say
we don't agree with.
Sit, do this, do that. I'm going to pay you this, and you want the players who are basically employees just to say yes.
You think a policeman should be able to say, I'm not going to come to work anymore because
different.
You're not paying me
totally
enough
different.
Money.
It's different.
And
I can't talk about, you can't
not,
talk about,
I'm not coming to work.
It's not the same.
Yeah, Christian, what about like a teacher who just says, I'm not going to teach your kid today?
It's different. It's
fine. Imagine. Give him a
John, those are essential workers within municipalities. You can't compare them
like
to the free too. Enterprise
wait,
and
what if
professional
you, what
athletes.
If, what if you work at Google? What if you work at Google and suddenly, you know, Facebook comes up to you and they try to steal you away? You talk to some of your buddies at Facebook and say, dude, we can really turn things around here. What's going on with your contract? We're going to that's what this is all about.
They might not have the power, whereas in the NBA, you do. To be able to publicly just hold
out. And just
out.
For the record, the teams could say no.
And I'm just saying, like, yes, it is different. It is different in professional sports than it is in the real world. Okay? It is, and the sooner you admit it, the sooner you accept it, you're going to be better off.
Well, here's where he's missing. Your life will here's be where he's missing the point. The owners are doing just the opposite. So the owners, what's her name? Jeannie Buss out in L.A.
On.
2 years ago. I forgot her. 2 years ago, she had an opportunity to get LeBron James. Did she sit there and say, nope, I want players to make only $10 million? No. She had an opportunity to get the best player on the planet. And by the way, a player that could attract another great player, which would be Anthony Davis. And how did that turn out for the Lakers?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Inside a bubble,
Pretty good. So that's how it turned out. That's how the owners feel. They want to go out and get the best players to win the championship. They don't want to keep them.
Wait, so when a teacher's contract is up and they're a free agent, they don't have other towns coming and trying to give them
they do not
four, move. Six, eight times as much because
they work that way.
Because their stats show they're a great teacher.
All their students got A's.
So wait, it's different?
Screw you. I'm going to Chelsea. I'm going to Revere.
It's different in sports?
A little bit.
God, that's
kinda,
so weird.
I know. I don't understand. I really is weird. Like, people who call up like that, like the dude from yesterday, they just hate on the athlete's ability to dictate
make
terms.
A lot of money.
Hate America. And make a lot of money.
Which is the problem. He's making $25 million.
But nobody cares about the owners or the coaches who agree to sign to a contract, a 5-year contract. Front loaded with no real willingness to pay you on the last 2 years, and they can cut you at any time.
So let me explain it to this last guy, and that most of these owners are billionaires. Okay, and granted, the athletes, most of them are millionaires, and there are a couple of them that are probably close to, if not billionaires now. So if they did what you wanted them to do, and that's limit everybody on how much money they were going to make, they wouldn't win an awful lot of games. The players wouldn't get that much money, and the only one that would make all the money. Would be the owners. They're the only ones who make any money. And that's only if the leagues, like the National Football League, which is kind of a socialistic republic where they're passing and divvying out the TV money equally to all of the different teams. So what would you gain by that? You're still feeding somebody who's making more and raking more and more money in. But you're not winning games. So how does that help a fan? All it does is it helps an owner make more money.
Yeah, it is funny. Like a lot of... old guys don't like the freedom and power that today's players have. But in every sport, all of them fought and striked for free agency. Because a team could sit there, snatch you up, and then keep you for 15 years and not pay you a dime.
Right. Yep.
And you would retire with nothing.
Right.
Because they wouldn't pay you anything.
Right. Then we don't need your personal story. Right. Okay, thanks.
Well, I'm just saying.
I benefited from the strikes.
But that is what everybody
sort of. Of course, that took all my money.
But that's what everybody sort of does in the real world. You know, you're out there working, and we're gonna keep you. And you're gonna make this amount. We might give you a little pay raise. I don't have to give you a pay raise. You can do whatever. I can do whatever the hell I want.
Right.
If you have some kind of contract, my contract's up. Okay, we're gonna give you this. I want more. We're not gonna give you more. Bye. You know, whatever.
Huh.
In NFL, whatever. You're a free agent. You're going to make a lot of cash. People want you. It's just different.
Yeah.
We have to accept people. Yeah. It's different.
All right.
You guys always disagree with people that don't agree with you.
No. Can you start agreeing?
Maybe my favorite thing a caller has ever said.
Can you start agreeing with some of the people that disagree with you?
You know, if somebody would call up.
Can you do that?
Can we just get someone who can make some sense? That's it.
No.
Like, how about can we call something the common sense hour?
Why can't we trade Devers if everybody wants to trade Jaylen Brown?
Yeah. Yeah, with defense sucks. Let's give away one of their best, youngest players.
I know they're facts, but it doesn't make it right.
I mean, they're thinking about letting go, I don't know, maybe, you know, cutting Hightower's salary. Why can't we just cut Evaldi's salary right now?
They did it in football. Why can't we do it in baseball?
All right, we'll try better.
And I love your words. I love your words.
Thank you. We'll try better. Here's Derek in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
So I have, like, this, I guess, plan for a trade the Red Sox make.
Nice. Sure.
All right. So
get my trade book out. Lou, you ready?
Here we go. I'm going to get mine.
I don't have a book.
All right. So, as you know, the Diamondbacks have been sucking this season.
Sure have.
Yeah, they've only lost, like, 22 road games in a row. That's not bad.
Exactly.
You want center fielder.
I've been looking at, like, their team, and I noticed the 25-year-old first baseman. He's a lefty, and he's batting, like, .280, and you guys were talking about how you wanted a compliment to Bobby Dalbec.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, I was looking at their prospects, and they really don't have a good infield or pitching prospects in, like, the top 50.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
I was thinking,
who do you want to trade him for? Get to it. Pick it up. Who do you want to trade him for?
I was thinking, like, Jonathan Arise and maybe Brian Matta, and they're, like, in Double-A right now.
Mine is Tommy John. Jonathan Arauz, okay. We saw last year, right? He's in Triple-A.
Yeah.
But he's in, okay.
Yeah. And then I was thinking it was Tristan Casas. He's a third baseman for the Red Sox.
Oh, my God. Okay. What are we doing?
It's actually Casas. But, okay. All right, good. Thank you.
What are we doing?
We're taking a timeout. We're going to take a timeout right now.
I feel like we're going to take a timeout.
Well, listen. I'm going to give Lou
like some neighborhood fantasy draft.
Hold on. You need to give Lou some credit.
Yes.
Lou did not disagree with that guy. Yes. He was patient. He was waiting it out. He was nice. He was trying to
I didn't want to disagree with a guy
I don't agree with.
Who was he talking
about? Pavin Smith, I think, the young kid. But, I mean, he's a top 100 prospect. He's a young kid. He's doing pretty well for themselves. They're rebuilding.
But if you're going to call up, give the name. Don't sit there. Some guy.
He's clearly nervous.
He's a first baseman, and he's awesome.
So, fine. We're going to agree with anyone who calls up.
We'll just take a break.
We're just going to agree with you.
We're not ready for
Casa?
Casa.
Who? Go to Tony.
Casa.
You guys always disagree with people that don't agree with you.
I know. It's awful that happens.
We counted on him to make some sense.
Come on, Tony.
Go to Tony. Tony will make some sense.
Oh, Tony in Bridgewater. My buddy Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony. How are you?
You know, it's funny. I'm an old guy that believes in free enterprise, but I got to tell you something. You know, I hate talking contracts and all this stuff. I know it's a big story. You guys are doing a good job. But, Lou, this is for you. Seriously.
Yeah. Go.
I've had it with Dalbec. Like, if people,
me too.
Yesterday, first and third. You know, he caps went back to the pit. He has got so many holes in his swing.
Yes.
And it seems like his eye is not even on the ball. His head's up. Like, I just had it with the guy. Before that grand slam last night, we forget, he struck out with the bases loaded.
Yes, he did.
And two innings earlier, he had first and third. All he needed to do was contact. But I'm not giving up on the guy. But he belongs down at Worcester to get 400 or 500 at-bats before he could be called up here. I'm not a big, huge fan of Gonzalez starting every day. I think he's super utility guy, but you got to get someone over there, Tony, that can.
I agree.
Thank you,
Tony. I agree with you.
But Dalbec's really old. How about Bobby Dalbec? Can we talk about
Dauber?
Him?
You don't want Dauber?
No,
Dauber's Triple A coach for the Nats.
He's too old now. He can't.
I've had it with Dalbec.
We've said that before. First base is your trade target. You don't have an answer there. First base. Dalbec, whatever. First base is a trade target. So I don't think you want Danny Santana there. What's he hitting, 70? You know, Marwin, I agree with you. You need a first baseman. You got to go find one.
Tremendous hour, fellas. Tremendous.
Ooh, pretty good.
This hour has been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity.
You guys always disagree with people that don't agree with you.
No. Number one charity for car donations. We got a lot more to get to. More baseball. Plus, this is a monumental day. I wonder if you guys remember what happened on this day back in 1994.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.